Well, certainly our brother needs no introduction. He's been preaching the gospel many years and quite diligently. He was preaching the gospel when I was a teenager and knew nothing of the Church of Christ. He was preaching the gospel when I first started attending here. He's preaching the gospel when I was called to the ministry, and I too had the responsibility to stand here. He has many years of faithful service, and I know he takes the time very seriously. And certainly everyone who stands up here, there's a different thing I find to appreciate with each of their speaking styles and how the Lord has used them. And with my brother, it's no different. I've always been impressed with his sermons that are very straight to the point. I mean, he doesn't waste any time, and there's no misunderstanding what he's trying to say. And I appreciate that very much. And so I pray that you would open your hearts and minds, put aside those cares and thoughts of everyday life. They'll be there waiting for us later. Right now, just focus upon the time we have and open your hearts and spirits to, or your hearts and minds to the leading of the Spirit, and hear the words that our brother will give to us this day. I give to you our brother and elder Jimmy Yates Sr.
Thank you, Glenn. Good morning. I'm going to talk about love a little bit this morning. Just a few days ago, we celebrated a day that was set aside on our calendars that we call Valentine's Day, where we celebrate love for others. And in watching the news on Valentine's Day, I see that there's a lot of money spent that day, about $19 billion with a B. For cards and candy, flowers, jewelry, phone calls, letters, all expressing love for someone who's special to us. Now, I don't know how many nations have such a day on their calendars or what they call it if they do. But I do know that all we have to do is to turn on the radio or the television, and we see very quickly that there's not much love in the minds of a lot of people, especially those in the Middle East countries. All we see is hate, the kidnapping of school children, the beheadings, mass slaughter. And just recently, the burning of people alive. Much of this hate is taught in a large part by those who should be teaching love and compassion. But they're called radical clerics who are teaching from a very different book than what we believe in and teach from. They follow a different leader than we do. And I don't think that the word love is even in their vocabulary. If it is, they sure keep it hidden well by their actions day to day. The books that we use teach something much different. They teach love and peace. And we find that the love of God is in the first book in the Bible, of Genesis, and extends clear through the whole book. Or I should say, the whole Bible. I'd like to go to Genesis 2. I'm going to read 7, verse 18, 21, and 22. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. 18. And the Lord God said, "It's not good for man that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmate. I'll make a helpmate for him." Now go down to 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made a woman. And he brought her to the man. Why did God do this? He did it because of his love and compassion for his creation. He didn't want him to be lonely. So he made someone for man to love and care for. In Genesis 18, I'm going to read several verses there. We read about a man named Abraham. And we see that he and the Lord were talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord's decision to destroy the two cities and the inhabitants thereof. I'm going to start with verse 20. And the Lord said, "Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know." And the men turned their faces towards thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" Peradventure there are 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not judge all the earth to do right? And the Lord said, "If I find 50, if in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, Behold, now I have taken it up on me to speak unto the Lord, which I am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall be the lack of 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for the lack of 5? And he said, If I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him again and said, Peradventure there should be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure that there shall be 30 found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, Behold now, I have taken it upon me to speak unto the Lord, peradventure that he should be found 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but once. Peradventure 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way. And as soon as he left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned to the place, unto his place. Now let's go to Genesis 19. I'm going to read 2 verses, 27 and 28. Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. What great sorrow that must have been on Abraham's heart when he saw that smoke the next morning, to know that the Lord had not found even 10, and the cities were all destroyed. Speaking of love, in the 29th chapter of Genesis, we find a man by the name of Jacob. I'm not going to just take the one out. I'm just going to talk about it here for a second. But it's in that chapter 29 of Genesis. And he worked. We find it when we read it that he worked for 17 years for her father to get her hand in marriage. 14 years, excuse me. What is the reason that these two books, the Bible and the Book of Mormon, were written? What purpose do they serve? They were caused to be written because of God, for God's love for those who came long before us, for us here today, and for those who will come after us. But we find when we read these two books that love didn't always work out too good. We see that, as we just read about Abraham, for his compassion that he had for those people in Sodom and Gomorrah, didn't come out the way he would like to have it. We find that problems with Samson and Delilah, David and Bathsheba, but the list goes on and on in these books. They're full of the evidence of love. And yet I haven't touched on the greatest love yet. One event that has overshadowed everything else down through the thousands of years. And that event is the birth, the life, and the death of Jesus Christ. During his short life, everywhere he went, love radiated from him. His whole life was love, compassion, and understanding. All of his characteristics rolled together, spelled one thing: love, with a capital L. His love was for everyone, not just his disciples and those of his immediate loved ones close around him, but everyone that he came in contact with as he traveled across the country. Let's go to Mosiah. First chapter. I'm going to start at the 92nd verse and see what it has to say. This is King Benjamin speaking here. And it says, the 92nd verse, "And again, my brethren, I would call your attention, for I have somewhat more to speak unto you. For behold, I have things to tell you concerning that which is to come. And things which I shall tell you are made known to me by an angel of God. And he said unto me, Awake. And I awoke. And he stood before me. And he said unto me, Awake. And hear the words which I will tell thee. For behold, I am come to declare unto thee glad tidings of great joy. For the Lord hath heard thy prayers, and hath judged of thy righteousness, and hath sent me to declare unto thee that thou mayest rejoice, that thou mayest declare unto thy people that they may also be filled with joy. For the time cometh, and is not too far distant, that with power the Lord Omnipotent, who reigneth, who was, and is from all eternity to all eternity, shall come down from heaven among the children of men, and shall dwell in a tabernacle of clay, and shall go forth amongst men, working mighty miracles, such as healing the sick, raising the dead, causing the lame to walk, the blind to receive their sight, the deaf to hear, and curing all manner of diseases. And he shall cast out devils or evil spirits which dwell in the hearts of the children of men. And lo, he shall suffer temptations and pain of body, hunger and thirst, and fatigue, even more than man can suffer, except that it be unto death. For behold, blood cometh from every pore, so great as shall be his anguish for the wickedness and the abominations of his people. And he shall be called Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Father of heaven and earth, the Creator of all things from the beginning, and his mother shall be called Mary. And lo, he cometh to his own, that salvation might come unto the children of men, even through faith on his name. And even after all of this, they shall consider him a man and say he hath a devil, and shall scourge him and shall crucify him. And he shall rise the third day from the dead. And behold, all these things are done that the righteous judgment might come upon the children of men. For behold, and also his blood atoneth for the sins of those who have fallen by transgression of Adam, who have died not knowing the will of God concerning them, or who have ignorantly sinned. But woe, woe unto him who knoweth that he rebelleth against God, for salvation cometh to none such, except through the repentance of faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord God hath sent his holy prophets among all the children of men to declare these things to every kindred, nation, and tongue. And thereby whosoever should believe that Jesus Christ should come, the same might receive the remission of their sins and rejoice with exceeding great faith, a great joy, even as those who had already come among them. Now, if you go to the Bible, I'm not going to read them all because it's full. You go from the New Testament, Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We can plainly see that that prophecy in Mosiah came to pass just exactly as it said it would be. And it tells us that he was born. His mother was called Mary. He was called the Son of God. And he did go forth among the people, working mighty miracles, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out evil devils, causing the lame to walk and the blind to see. And he was crucified and did raise on the third day. Do you suppose that he healed and raised those people and worked all the miracles that you could see that he had done? He did it for one thing, his love for mankind and his compassion for them. He even had love and compassion and thought of others when he hung on the cross. In Luke 23:34, we read this. Then said Jesus, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them." And in John 19:26-27, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." And he saith to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. Even in all of his anguish and pain, his thoughts were for others. What greater love could you have? He himself answered that in John 15:13, when he said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." He proved that statement that day, not only for his friends and loved ones who were there with him, but for all mankind. He gave his life that day for you and me. And we need to remember that daily. That same great love that he had for those people there, he taught after his crucifixion and resurrection when he came to the Americas. He had the same love and compassion for those who were on the Americas here as he had for those in the Holy Land. He did the same things for them as he had done for the people there. Let's go to 3rd Nephi, page 647. 3rd Nephi 8. going to start in the first verse. Go to 27. Behold, it now came to pass that when Jesus had spoke these words, he looked round about on the multitude and said unto them, Behold, my time is at hand. I perceive that ye are weak, that ye cannot understand all my words which I am commanded of the Father to speak unto you at this time. Therefore, go into your homes and ponder upon the things which I have said, and ask of the Father in my name that ye may understand, and prepare your minds for the morrow. And I will come again unto you. But now I go unto the Father, and also show myself unto the lost tribes of Israel. For they are not lost unto the Father, for he knoweth whither he hath taken them. And it came to pass that when Jesus had thus spoken, he cast his eyes around again on the multitude, and beheld they were in tears, and did look steadfastly upon him as if they could ask him to tarry a little longer with them. And he said unto them, Behold, my bowels are filled with compassion towards thee, towards you. And yea, have ye any sick among you? Bring them hither. Have ye any that are lame, or blind, or halt, or maimed, or leprous, or that are withered, or that are deaf, or are afflicted in any manner, bring them hither, and I will heal them, for I have compassion upon you. My bowels are filled with mercy, for I perceive that ye desire that I should show unto you what I have done unto your brethren at Jerusalem. For I see that your faith is sufficient that I should heal you. And it came to pass when he had thus spoken to the multitude with one accord, did go forth with their sick and afflicted and their lame and their blind and with their dumb and with them that were afflicted in any manner. And he did heal every one of them as they brought them forth unto him. And they did all, both those who had been healed and they who were whole, bow down at his feet and did worship him. And as many as could come, for the multitude did kiss his feet, inasmuch as they did bathe his feet with their tears. And it came to pass that he commanded that their little children should be brought. Now keep that place. I want to go to the Bible for one verse. It's a short verse. You don't need to turn to it. It's in Mark 9:42, and we find that just how much love and compassion he had for the little ones. And he gave this warning unto mankind. Mark 9:42. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it's better for him to have a millstone hanged about his neck and that he would be cast into the sea. Does he love the little ones? I would say he does. So they brought the little children, going back to where we were at. And he set them down upon the ground about him. And Jesus stood in the midst, and the multitude gave way until they had all been brought unto him. And it came to pass that when they had all been brought, and Jesus stood in the midst, he commanded that the multitude that they should kneel down upon the ground. And it came to pass that when they knelt down upon the ground, Jesus groaned within himself and said, Father, I am troubled because of the wickedness of the people of the house of Israel. And when he said these words, he himself knelt down upon the earth. And the things which he prayed cannot be written. And the multitude did bear a record who heard him. And after this manner, they do bear record that eye hath never seen, neither hath ear heard before, such great and marvelous things which they saw and heard Jesus speak unto the Father. And no tongue can speak, neither can it be written by man. Neither can the hearts of men conceive so great and marvelous things that they heard and saw that Jesus spoke. Now no one can conceive of the joy which filled our souls at the time that we heard him pray for us unto the Father. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end to this praying to the Father, unto the Father, he arose, but so great was the joy of the multitude that they were overcome. And it came to pass that Jesus spake unto them and bade them arise. And they arose from the earth, and he said unto them, Blessed are ye because of your faith. And now behold, my joy is full. And when he had said these words, he wept. And the multitude bare record of it. And they took their little children one by one. And he took their little children one by one and blessed them and prayed unto the Father for them. And when he had done this, he wept again. And he spake unto the multitude and said unto them, Behold your little ones. And as they looked to behold, they cast their eyes towards heaven, and they saw the heavens open, and they saw the angels descending out of heaven, as it were. And in the midst of fire, they came down and circled those little ones about. And they were encircled with fire, and the angels did minister unto them. And the multitude did see and hear and bear record. And they know that their record is true. For they all of them did see and hear, every man for himself. And there were in a number of about 2,500 souls. And they did consist of men, women, and children. Now I want to go back to Mosiah again, page 216, and I want to read again a portion of that, starting with in Mosiah, first chapter, read three verses, 97 to 99. For behold, the time cometh and is not far distant with power that the Lord omnipotent reigneth, who was and who is from all eternity to all eternity, shall come down among the children of men and shall dwell in the tabernacle of clay. And you shall go forth amongst men, working mighty miracles, such as healing the sick, raising the dead, causing the lame to walk, the blind to receive their sight, and deaf to hear, and curing all manner of diseases. And he shall cast out devils or evil spirits which dwell in the hearts of the children of men. This leads us to believe that he's going to have love and compassion for all people that he comes in contact with. Let's go to 3rd Nephi, page 648. Read one. I'm going to read one verse there, just so that we won't have to guess. He tells us that he had love and compassion for them and asked to bring the sick and the afflicted to him. And we read it here straight from his mouth. 8th chapter, 7th verse. Have ye any that are lame, or blind, or halt, or maimed, or leprous, or are withered, or are deaf, or are afflicted in any manner? Bring them hither, and I will heal them, for I have compassion upon you. John 13, 34 and 35. Jesus speaking, and he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this all men shall know that you are my disciples, if ye love one to another. I'm going to read one short verse in Hebrews 13. 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. After reading that in Mosiah and 3rd Nephi, the scriptures tell me that if he was standing here today, this morning, that he would have compassion for those afflicted in any way, shape, or form. And he would heal them. Just like we read, because he does not change. Now, I've been reading and speaking about love and compassion of the Son. But what about the Father and his love? One verse tells it all. And you know it well. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we see that God the Father also has love and compassion for all of us, the same as the Son. I just pray that we also have love and compassion for those around us. Thank you for your time.